Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome, Chris Williams in the studio for Steve Arterburn today. Welcome to New Life Live. I have with me Dr. Alice Benton.
Hello. Hi, everybody. It's a real treat to be in the studio with you two.
It really is. And I have Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hi, guys.
And
I agree, Alice.
We're nice. Rarely the team that's together.
We're rarely the trio, so this will be fun today.
This will be a lot of fun.
Chris, you're flanked by the women.
I am, which makes me feel really, really good. You know, really good. So,
and folks, we're already singing this morning, too. So, yeah. I mean, we're ready and raring to go.
That's right.
Well, to use a, sort of a sports metaphor, you know, I used to think of Mondays as sort of like, you know, the dreary Monday, the manic Monday. Mm-hmm. But I think of it that I get to do what I love every day. Now it's like kickoff Monday.
Ooh,
it's like the beginning of the day,
the beginning of the week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's I'm excited. The game has begun. We're kicking it off. We're kicking it off with you. A couple things I do want to mention is that this Friday in Columbus, Ohio, is our Intimacy and Marriage Workshop. And so it's again, if you're on the fence, get off of that fence. It's not comfortable. Sitting on a fence is not comfortable. And so if you have any issue in your marriage, if you want to improve it, if you want to invest well in it, and I talk about this a lot, it's one of the best investments we can ever make with the best return on investment is our marriages. Obviously ourselves, our life with God, our spirituality, but definitely our marriages.
Right, because when our marriage is in disarray, it throws everything else off, right?
Absolutely.
In our lives,
yes.
Right? Because that's foundational.
Yeah.
And that's foundational for your kids, too. So the best thing you can do, the best investment, like you're saying, I mean, think about how much money we spend on so many different things, trying to fix up the outside of us. And this really does that internal work for the two people as a couple, right?
And Jill, you mentioned our kids. I was thinking the same thing. Even if you're on the fence about your marriage, but you know you want to give a better life to your children, this weekend is such a great way to do that and to safeguard their future.
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things that people learn here as well is that you don't just learn how to deeply connect with your spouse, but you can learn how to deeply connect with your children as well.
Right, right. And to save your children from, you know, the heartache that comes from divorce. And I've done the research, right? I'm divorced and have had to raise two kids. They are not scar-free, right? So when you think, oh, well, they'll be better off. No, they're not scar-free. So it's important.
Yeah. So, again, this Friday, Intimacy and Marriage Workshop, it is in Columbus, Ohio. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, to register for that. And if you want to call in, we're live today. And we're ready to take your calls. That is 1-800-229-3000. And let's go right to the phones. Let's go to Elizabeth in Tacoma, Washington, listening on KGNW. Elizabeth, are you there?
Yes. Hi.
Thanks
for taking my call.
Yeah, no problem. We're going to come up against a break here very shortly. But I wanted to get you in. Let's get started on this. What can we help you out with?
Okay. I have a 17-year-old daughter, soon to be 18, and she suffers from trauma. Sexual assault happened over 3 years ago, and it's causing numerous struggles, and she gets stuck.
Yeah.
She's not functioning well, and she has like an eighth-grade education, and maturity level is the same. I suspect her therapist confirmed that she has multiple layers of trauma.
Yes.
Due to the assault and the bullying and other things. When we did the intervention, we got her to a therapeutic boarding school 5 weeks ago.
Okay.
But now I'm wondering about her treatment plan and diagnosis and
asking her to stay in treatment past her 18th birthday.
Yeah, yeah. We'll stay on the line, Elizabeth, and we'll come back to you. The connection is a little bit off, so but we'll come back to you. We'll get that fixed, and we'll be right back.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Chris Williams in studio for Steve Arterburn today. We're talking with Elizabeth in Tacoma, Washington. And Elizabeth, you were saying that your daughter, who is 17, about to turn 18 years old, has experienced some pretty significant trauma in her life. And this has caused a lot of problems, a lot of issues, and she's now at a therapeutic boarding school. Is that correct?
Yes.
And how can we help you? What's your question for us today?
Okay. Things got pretty desperate. She's trying to get her GED and her driver's license and a job. She just can't do anything. She's just really struggling and stuck. So we got her to this school, but I don't think they have a correct diagnosis for her, and my communication with them hasn't been very good. They say major depressive disorder and suicidal ideation.
Okay.
But they also said autism last week, and I know sometimes trauma looks like autism.
Yeah, it can.
If it gets really bad, she gets kind of frozen. And anyway, so I don't know how to communicate with them and advocate for my daughter. What kind of treatment would you recommend for this kind of trauma? I was wondering about the EMDR. Would she need a good relationship with her therapist first before she would jump into something like that?
Well, yeah, I'll start off is that a good, strong, trusting relationship with her therapist is really important. And again, this, from the picture that you've painted for us, the recovery does look long-term, and it may take quite a few treatment attempts for her to stick with it and get with it. And so, but yeah, getting a correct diagnosis is important. But Jill, what do you think?
Well, I think major depression is kind of a safe diagnosis. It's kind of an overall umbrella diagnosis. And certainly those symptoms go along with someone who's experienced trauma. So maybe it's not the most specific diagnosis, but it is a working one to start. And certainly, you know, we'd be looking at post-traumatic stress disorder here with her. And I think she needs to be someplace where they work with people who are victims of trauma, where they have that, in their curriculum. But treatment is something that, you know, it's not perfect. There is no perfect treatment. And in the middle of it, it can feel like, wow, is this really helping? And that's where, like Chris is saying, over the long haul, you may have to do several variations and adding in supports as needed. I think the EMDR would be paramount for her to move forward.
And I think what's important with that, too, is that EMDR also needs to be supported. It has to be appropriate to where a person is at.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of assessment that clinicians put into those decisions.
Mm-hmm. And Elizabeth, we hear your concerns that you're not well connected with the school or getting the kind of communication that you need and want. And I encourage you to persevere on that. Because of your daughter's age, you probably will need her consent or assent as well that you communicate with the school. But keep at it. Be persistent. And even though you have concerns, I do wonder if your daughter is feeling safe there and if she's sensing progress and a good relationship with the therapist, because the patient's experience of their therapist and the therapy mm-hmm. session is one of the most important components for whether or not it will work, no matter what the treatment modality is. So if it's EMDR, if it's cognitive behavioral therapy, it's really the relationship that has more of the healing power than the kind of treatment that's being used. But EMDR is one of the most effective and fastest for trauma.
Right. But it's in conjunction with all those things you mentioned, yes. Alice.
Yeah. Her therapist doesn't do the EMDR, so she would need to switch therapists. But she's only been with this therapist for 5 weeks.
Okay, not necessarily. A lot of times someone will be in therapy and then do EMDR as an adjunctive therapy.
Yeah.
So where that therapist will work with her therapist.
And if your daughter has that strong relationship with her therapist, even if they're not doing EMDR, if she has a strong relationship, I wouldn't move away from that too quickly if I were you.
Oh, yeah. They don't have one yet because it's just been 5 weeks. She had one with the therapist here that she saw an outpatient. But then at the school, they're not close yet.
And is she able to continue perhaps some phone sessions with her therapist at home? That could be really helpful in bridging the gap. So you might check into that.
Okay.
I would be asking the boarding school, what is their protocol for, parental contact and involvement? Because, Elizabeth, if you're only getting your information from your daughter, you're going to hear all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Kids really pull on their parents at a certain point when they've been there just a short time to pull them out. That's so typical of treatment. And so you really want to make sure you're not just listening to her, but getting the full picture of what's going on and what the long-term goal is, right?
Exactly. I need that too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We parents...
Long-term goals.
And we parents get pulled into fear and the time pressure of how quickly is she going to get better, especially with something as frightening as suicidal thoughts and a history of sexual assault.
Yeah.
So please continue talking about your fear with your own safe people too so that you can get comfort and not pressure this whole system too quickly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so,
what about turning 18?
Well, again,
that's what I worry about.
Right now, what I want you to focus on, now she will have consent, but in most cases, even a 17-year-old can have their own consent. And so the concern is that what's going to happen in the future, how is she going to respond or not respond? Is she going to check herself out? Elizabeth, there's a lot of things here that are not in your control.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things to worry about, especially with your daughter. What I want you to try to do is stay in the moment. Stay in the day. Okay? Your daughter is feeling a lot of support and safety in her environment, she's going to stay there. And so, trust that so far. Trust that as you go forward. And like what was said, keep checking in with the school. Build a good relationship with them where you're getting reports back and you're
But she may have to hit against their authority first.
Absolutely, and that's going to happen.
Push back on that before she kind of surrenders into the treatment.
Well, and people who have been traumatized are going to challenge the trust over and over and over again.
She's not going to trust.
And so they're going to challenge you as well. Your daughter's going to challenge you and see if you're going to rescue her. And right now, I want you to avoid that. You can support her, but you don't have to rescue her.
And Elizabeth, don't be afraid of her turning 18. Where is she going to go?
Okay.
What means does she have? You're telling me your child doesn't even drive. She doesn't have a job. Okay?
Yeah, I know.
Kids, throw that up in your face. Yeah. I have an 18-year-old, a senior in high school, and I basically tell him nothing changes. It's just that you get bigger consequences now by the outside world, that don't fall on me. But as long as I'm supporting you, life
good.
Is still the same, and I am driving him to school still. So what is he going to do?
Well, Elizabeth, thank you. Thank you so much for calling. We're gonna send a copy of Steve Arterburn and Becky Johnson's book, Understanding and Loving a Person with Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder. And so I think that's going to help you, support you in this process and as you go forward. And the last thing I'll say is, Elizabeth, it's really important that you take care of yourself and that you find your own support through this process as well. So, again, thank you so much for calling in. Let's keep the phone lines open and going. Let's go to Rose in Anaheim, California. Rose, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you doing today, and how can we help you?
Thank you for taking my call. Okay, I don't know how to handle my daughter's shocking sexual writing.
Do you find it in a journal or online or both? What are you seeing?
On her journal.
And so, how old is your daughter?
She's in seventh grade. She just turned 13.
Oh, okay.
Rose, does she know yet that you found the content?
Yes. This is like a month, like 3 weeks or a month ago. I was very disturbed, of course, and I thought something had happened to her because she used the I, you know, like he did this to me or I was excited or, you know. So I was very disturbed. But I confronted her and she did not want to tell me anything. Her offer was throw it away and be done with it. So because we had been going at it for a while at night, that's what happened. We put it in the trash can. Of course, I went digging for it the next day. But she's in seventh grade now, a different school. So I talked to her sixth grade teacher from last year, and I told her what had happened and that I needed help. And she gave me a very important piece. She said that one of her friends last year had brought into the classroom inappropriate reading material. So nothing has happened to her. It's just, you know, she's in the experimental phase where she wants to act like she's older than she is.
Well, she's growing up, and her body and hormones are changing. And kids at that age kind of mature at different rates, and some kids become very kind of hyper sexual in their curiosity, even if they're not involved in anything. And unfortunately, younger and younger, the kids are exposed to more and more. Seventh grade can be a really pivotal, challenging year for kids kind of sorting out who they are. They're still in that awkward junior high phase, but they're wanting to be older, like you said. I'm wondering, Rose, what is her relationship with her dad like?
Oh, that's the other piece. We got separated when she was 3 years old.
Okay. Does she have any contact with him?
Not really. He remarried. The girl that he got married to has two girls almost the same age as my daughters, but he's very disconnected.
Okay.
So no contact. Just this weekend, he had asked to see them, and because we've been going at it, I said, you know, we have a life. We can't just drop everything and see you, so why not? Because he had asked last weekend, and I said, not this weekend, but what about the following weekend? So we had scheduled that for this weekend. Unfortunately, he's never on time. And so we had left the house because my daughter needed to be...
Rose, let me jump in because we don't have a whole lot of time to go down other stories. But your daughter has this, you know, I'm guessing, sexually explicit things in her journal. This is a big concern, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And then what do you do about it?
Well, I try talking to her, but she won't talk to me. I try reaching out to the teacher.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that. Alice, how do you think she connects with her daughter?
Rose, you're already taking some very good proactive steps, so I praise you for that. And we want to encourage you to keep going down that road. I wonder if the boy was named in the journal. And if I think it would be very wise to start getting to know the other kids that your sister spends time with, even having them over to your home, talking with them, talking with the other parents too, because it is serious. I wouldn't just let my daughter go at, no, mama, I won't talk about it.
Right.
I might even insist, I'm worried enough about you, and I love you so much. We're going to take a walk around the block every night, the two of us, and I'm going to be persistent about this mm-hmm. because I care for you that much. You can't force her to talk, but you can continue to pursue her heart in this and explain why you're so concerned. This might be a good time to share a little bit about your story, even perhaps about her father and some of what happened there, as a way to let her know you have struggled in your life as well, but you've learned from it and you want to share some of your knowledge and your experience with her. But most importantly, you want to continue to offer her a listening ear, even if she rejects it. Don't give up on that.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Yeah.
Yes, that's where we are.
Yeah, absolutely. I hear the music now, so maybe a couple more points after the break.
Yeah, so and Rose, we're going to go to the break here really soon, but I just want to encourage you, choose connection over control.
Yes.
So we're going to come back and talk a little bit more about that. Jill's going to give you some pointers on that. But it's really important. These things are really scary when our children are exposed to this incredibly dangerous world where there's a lot of harm being done as we experience. And we want to control, and that's natural. But what really is effective is connection. And we'll talk more about that when we come back after the break.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realize that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. November 15th to the 17th. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
And we're back, Chris Williams in the studio with Dr. Jill Hubbard and Dr. Alice Benton, and we're talking with Rose. And Jill, you had a few things
Well, just a few more things, Rose, to add in. And we were talking a little bit about the break. You, Rose, cannot do this alone. It's hard to be a single parent, as I'm sure you're well aware of. And so it's really important that you draw in resources that can help you. You know, is your daughter in a youth group? Are there mentors there, you know, both women and men? She needs some attention, some healthy attention from men. Because this is the age where she's trying to figure out how, if she's desirable to the opposite sex. And that's where I know having the dad that's inconsistent and unreliable and in and out of her life, you know, I know that's really chaotic, but even a bad dad is her dad and is necessary. And so I would try to make some contact happen as best you can so that she can have some connection with him, especially since he has these other girls. It can feel really like somehow she wasn't chosen. And so, you know, until she says, no, I don't want to see dad anymore, I think that would be something to allow to happen. And then get healthy.
That's where she's at.
Okay, where is she at?
Angry with dad.
Okay, makes sense.
For her birthday, yes, for her birthday, he asked to do something, and she said, I don't want to see him.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, well, that is understandable. He has really hurt her. So I think, too, for you, Rose, to accept where your daughter is at, it can be really hard with our own reactions of, you know, not my little girl, not wanting them to be more advanced than they are. So really look at yourself and where you are at in being able to say, okay, this is where she's at, and so I need to meet her there. And we need to have those conversations about healthy sexuality and what's appropriate and what's not appropriate and what she thinks, yeah, what she imagines. And you have to be that safe place along with what else you create.
Yes, that's something that I really do, because I didn't appreciate my mother not talking to me and my sister.
Yeah.
So I over-talk sometimes.
It's okay.
I do talk with her, and she's open sometimes about, okay, you know, other things. And she does tell me that in her little group of friends, there's only one guy, and that she tends to hang out with him a lot. Mm-hmm. To the point that recently they have switched lockers. It's just fun for them. And a lot of the girls in the school are, you know, pointing at them saying, oh, you guys are going out. And,
Rose, let me jump in again, because you're doing a great job. I really want to highlight this. She's having these conversations, and sometimes it takes a long time to warm up, and even putting our toes in the shallow end of hard conversations. Mm-hmm. And so you said, hey, I do a lot of talking. Mm-hmm. I want you to also do a lot of listening. Again, what Jill was saying, be a safe place for her to be able to talk through this. And you want to play what I call the long game. You know, the short incidences tend to create these crises, mm-hmm, that we paint a really bad future with. Just know that you're going to be journeying with her as her mom, walking her through some really fun and exciting things and walking her through some really tough and challenging things, especially as it relates to her sexuality. We're going to send you a copy of Jill's book, Secrets Women Keep. I think this could be a great conversation piece, mm-hmm, for you and your daughter to talk about, hey, these things that are going on inside of us, to be able to find the safe places to talk about them outside of us so they don't own us. And that's really important in her process. And like what was said, you know, find those other resources, youth group, pastors, wives of pastors, different things that she can safely connect to people that help her guide along her journey of healthy sexuality. And so, Rhodes, thank you. So thank you so much for calling in. We're so grateful that you are the mom that you are, and you're concerned as and invested well in your daughter's life. So keep going, and we're here to cheer you on. So thanks for calling
in. Thank you so much.
No problem. Have a great day. I want to go to Deborah in Dallas, Texas, listening on KWRD. Deborah, how are you doing today?
Hey, just great. How are you?
Good. How can we help you?
Okay, I've been dating for 2 years. I'm 63. I'm ready for a commitment. My boyfriend is not. And I made the comment that, well, you may not be a good fit for me since I'm ready and you're not. And he said, no, he doesn't want to break up. But he can't tell me how much time he needs. And his former wife, he said they lived together for 5 years. And she gave him an ultimatum. And that's when he proposed to her. I don't know. Don't know if I want to keep waiting.
Well mm-hmm. Deborah, you actually do know, right? he waited 5 years. Now he's waiting 2 years, yeah, and now he needs a threat to commit So we're going to explore, like, what kind of guy is this, you know? Like,
well, that's what I started asking myself. What am I not seeing here? What am I not paying attention to?
That's good. Hey, those are some actual really good questions. Yeah, what am I not seeing here?
Why does he need a threat?
That's another great question. So,
yeah, what does he self-initiate in his life?
Yeah.
Does he do everything under threat, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And does it take threat to create action, which speaks to deeper problems? We're going to go to a break, but this is a good call, Deborah. We're going to help you out. We're going to help see what's going on and head you in the right direction. We'll be right back.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Hi, Chris Williams in here for Steve Arterburn today. Again, I have Dr. Alice Benton, Dr. Jill Hubbard. We have Deborah on the phone. Deborah is with a foot dragger, a guy that has a hard time making decisions and drags his feet when it comes to, actually, it sounds like really important things in his life. But Deborah, you were just saying that you've been with this guy for 2 years. You want to get married. You want this relationship to take the next step. He says he's not ready, but he's already shown this pattern in his first marriage where he lived with his wife for 5 years. Pre-married before they got married, and that was just based on her threatening to break up with him, I guess. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So, Jill, what do you think?
Well, Deborah, can I ask you the question? Are you living with him?
No, but he would like for us to be, and I said no.
Good for you, Deborah. Yay. Good, because you don't want to just be a repeat of what he's already done. And so he tends to take the path of least resistance, right? And I think, you know, the 5 years, he just got really comfortable. And we know that overall, or generally, women are more security-minded, right? And that we tend to want the commitment before men do. And if a man is in a relationship that's suiting him, right? Meaning he's living with someone, they don't always feel that need to take it any farther. So it sounds like, I also wonder where his commitment is to the Lord, and if that's a part of your relationship.
He is a Christian, okay. And we do go to the same church, okay. But he doesn't go every Sunday.
Okay.
He has a martial arts that he's been in for many, many years, and he does that every other Sunday.
Okay, religiously, huh?
So, Deborah, it's sounding his priorities don't match up with your priorities. Mm-hmm. And I love and celebrate that you have enough self-worth and standards to call and ask this question. He doesn't sound like he's been pursuing his own healing and character growth process, not as a main priority in his life after the end of the previous marriage, even though
he said he did a lot of work, but
Deborah, what does his behavior say? He speaks some good words and he goes to church sometimes, but the pattern of behavior seems to say your priorities are not his priorities.
Right, and I'm getting aggravated because I don't even get a dialogue with him on this topic. When I bring it up, I can tell he just cringes.
Your aggravation is good. It is a righteous aggravation, and it is a good sign that you're being self-protective and that you're seeing red flags, that he's not responding well enough to your concerns. So I don't want you to downplay your own agitation, but rather hear it as your soul wanting protection for yourself, for your future, for your romantic relationship.
Right. And
I think I need to meet some other people and just meet some other people to see if I can find someone that's ready.
Well, to find someone that's more in line with your values, right? I think that's the important piece, that it's becoming more apparent that you guys don't value the same things and that you don't have the same standards in life and that, you know, you're wanting some things that really are about, you know, growing closer to the Lord and having, you know, a pure relationship before the Lord. And he's not wanting that. He's wanting to settle for convenience. Right? Low risk.
Yeah.
And Deborah, it's fine to lay those things out first in conversation with him, mm-hmm. to be very clear and gentle that this is what I want in my life. And I want to know from you if you do or don't want it. You get to decide. But then if his reaction continues to be what you've seen and heard all along, then mm-hmm.
that tells you he's choosing.
Yeah. He mm-hmm. is choosing.
Even passively,
okay,
he's choosing.
It's been this way for a year now, and I'm getting...
Well, 2 years is long enough.
Yeah.
2 years is long enough of time to give a relationship amount of time. If people don't get engaged within, you know, a year and a half to 2.5 years, around that mark, depending on outside circumstances, usually it doesn't happen.
And it's possible, Deborah, that if and when he loses you, mm-hmm. he may then change. He may wake up to what a great woman he had. And he may make some changes in his life. So there's a possibility of hope. But go that self-protection route first.
Right. But you compromising, right, or working harder than he is not going to get you what you want.
And
so your only hope.
It feels like I'm the one giving all the
work. Yeah, you are.
So again, you, Deborah, they were talking about, I love what both Jill and Alice were saying, that I want you to hear from them, especially as women, is that you have value. Your frustration is speaking to your needs and the needs that you have in a relationship, and those matter. Those matter tremendously, and you need a person who can enter into those places with you, have those conversations, even if they're tough, but also align on your values in life. And so, again, you have 2 years of experience. If you expect him to show up differently, that's not on him, that's on you. Right?
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so this is what you have, and this is, I'll leave it here, and I typically tell pre-marrieds this. Any pattern that you see premaritally, multiply that by 5 once you get married.
Mm-hmm. Or 10.
Or 10. So Deborah, we're going to send you a great resource. We're going to send you Steve Arterburn's Is This the One? That's going to help you work through some of these questions that you have, help illuminate those things that you want in a partner and in yourself, and that, this is like, it just sounds like this is not the one. So we want to
not the one right now. Not, for sure.
Absolutely not the one right now. So we want to send you on the right track with that. Debbie, thank you so much for calling in today. And hey, we wish you well, and we know that God is leading you in your journey mm-hmm. towards a better one here yes. in the future. So again, this radio program is such an amazing honor to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We don't always get to see what the impact is on the other side of it, but we do know that God is working in and through it. Mm-hmm. But we can only do this because people support us. The listeners support us. People who believe in it and who have been helped by it support it. And so we are asking, especially if you have not been a part of Club New Life, send in Club New Life. If you subscribe, I think is it? If you support us monthly through Club New Life, we're going to send you a set of four devotionals that Steve wrote, 100 Days of Character, 100 Days of Peace, 100 Days of Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. There's a lot of 100 days in here, but I find that working through in my own life, devotionals or daily things that help me stay on track are absolutely invaluable. But in addition to that, the Club New Life videos have so much incredible information, and especially from the hosts here on the show and some of our therapists in network, it's all right there. And so we have some testimonies too. So, Alice, you got one over there?
We do. This is from Jean, who's a listener, and she writes to us, "Dear New Life, we are so blessed by your ministry and your daily program. When I discovered my husband on the computer looking at very inappropriate websites 8 years ago, I knew just what to do. He got the help he needed through Every Man's Battle Workshop. It was just the beginning of building our marriage. Today, he can be trusted. He says what he means, where he's going, etc. Previously, every move was suspect. I can't put into words the joy that fills my heart related to your help. Your books have been awesome, as is the interaction on your programs between Dr. Stoop, Mylan, Jill, etc. I love you all. Thank you so much."
And we just experienced this over and over and over again, that there's so many people out there, ourselves included, you know, that struggle in life when we don't know where the solution is, where the help that God is offering is coming from. And here at New Life, we are all in committed in where we can to help you connect to God's help in your life.
Chris, I'm glad you included us in it, because it's why I'm mm-hmm. I'm a giver too to New Life.
Yeah.
It has changed my life. It has changed my marriage. Mm-hmm. My kids have a better family because of what New Life has taught mm-hmm. me.
Absolutely. You know, the resources are just, again, invaluable. And it's like, it's wisdom in action over and over, and it leads to better life. If you're listening out there, you want to call in. We're going to be in the studio for 2 hours today. Again, that is 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. We'd love to talk with you, love to take your call. If you're waiting online, stick around with us. We're going to be back after the break. I want to mention one more thing: intimacy in marriage this Friday in Columbus, Ohio. If you need help in your marriage, which I know we all do, sign up for that. Don't wait. And it's going to be a fantastic weekend. Again, we will come back to some more calls right after the break.
"We need to talk." She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at."
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
And we're back. Chris Williams again in the studio for Steve Arterburn, Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Alice Benton. And we're actually just having a great time today.
We are.
I love hanging out with you guys. It is so much fun. So, hey, let's get another call in. Let's go to Tony in Bakersfield, California, listening on the podcast. Tony, are you there?
I am here. How are you doing today?
Oh, doing great, man. How can we help you?
Well, a question. I called a little bit over a year ago, spoke with Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. David Stoop and Steve Arterburn that day.
Uh-huh.
My wife had an affair. Fast forward, about 6 months later, had some verbal abuse on behalf of her and her adult son, and physical threats on her adult son. Fast forward a few months later to now, now she thinks I'm having an affair. Where I'm at today in comparison to a year ago when she had affairs, I'm a completely different person. I'm in a codependency class reading a very good codependency book, so I've learned how to set some firm boundaries, which have changed the dynamics at home. Mm-hmm. However, I noticed that she's kind of going back to how she was before, so much so that just this past week she accused me of having an affair.
Is she having
and
an affair?
So, no, she's not, because I can tell by her habits, what she's doing, she's just disconnected again. If that makes sense. She's she's up and down, up and down, up and down. Sometimes she's at church, she wants to serve. Sometimes she's not at church, she doesn't want to serve. Me, I'm to the point where I'm not going to be a dad no more and babysit. And
you mean
I
her?
Just want to make
babysit
sure that
her?
I'm on the right track. Yeah, exactly. And I just want to make sure that I'm on the right track, taking the right steps. I will say that last week I did take a verbal jab at her, but like within 10 minutes of the jab, I text her and I apologize for the verbal jab I took
her. Oh, good.
But it was due to the fact that she made a comment about me, which is no excuse. She made a comment about me. There's a girl at the office that called me. She thought my name was El Chapo, like the drug lord guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
uh-huh.
I said, no, that's not my name. So I told my wife about it because it's kind of funny. And so she took it as a threat, as far as this girl trying to hit on me. And there's nothing like that. And
yeah.
She found a text on my phone on the screen of her car, because I guess it holds history.
Yeah.
And it was something about hooking up or meeting somebody in between school hours, which I know nothing about.
So Tony,
it doesn't even make sense.
Tony, what have been your best steps in reacting to her accusation of you having an affair? What are the best things you've done to handle that?
I think I've been calm for the most part, like I've been in the past, and I've detached when there's physical, verbal attacks. Because
mm-hmm.
before it would be like she would escalate, I would escalate. She would escalate, I would escalate.
Yeah.
And one thing I learned is just to disconnect, mm-hmm. and it's actually caused her to step back and say, "Whoa, he's not playing no more."
Yeah,
and
that's
I've
good.
Actually, I've left. Yeah, I actually, there was a weekend where we were going with our church family camping.
Well, Tony, let me jump in really quickly. Let me jump in really quickly.
Sure.
What?
Sure.
How can we help you? What's the question for us?
Well, I just want to make sure that I'm taking the right, if I'm doing the right thing still.
I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. Like I said, I did take that verbal jab last week, but I apologized immediately.
Tony, do you continue to want reconciliation? Tony, do you continue to want reconciliation in your marriage?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm not looking for a divorce at all.
So, Tony, then I'm gonna ask you some questions. Your wife, mm-hmm. it may be that she's afraid and she's acting out of her fear. And as Chris asked mm-hmm. about, is she having an affair? We humans tend to project the fear mm-hmm. of actually what we're doing onto other people. So there are those two possibilities. So if she's reacting mm-hmm. just out of fear and she's not having an affair, being a good listener to her heart and drawing out that fear before being defensive mm-hmm. is going to be very important to connect with her. So you might ask her, I know you're worried about this woman at my work. Would you tell me about it? Tell me what's causing the fear. Tell me about those thoughts going on in your head. And I'm going to just listen. And giving her that space to speak out the fear is one of the first steps in healing. And then, after having heard her for some time, being willing to offer her proof. Would you like to look through my phone with me? Would you like me to have a conversation with this coworker of mine in front of you so that you can see what I'm doing, so that you can ask questions, so that I can show you proof of my honesty here?
Well, here's the thing. I hide nothing. My phone is open 24/7.
Tony, I'm hearing your defense right away, even to us here. So
I have done that in the past, but my wife attacks.
Okay.
She literally attacks, and I'm in the shower and I get out and.
Okay, so Tony,
I get on my phone just to look at it, and there's like five apps open because she's checking to see if I'm having an affair.
Okay, so
it's so, ridiculous.
Yes. Okay, but instead of, you know, reacting as you are in being upset at her behavior, you have to see, okay, something is going on with her, right? And if she could cheat, then she's assuming mm-hmm. you could too, right? So
yeah,
I think what Alice is telling you is something that to disarm the situation with her and say, you know, sweetheart, I don't have anything to hide. And I'm not doing those things, but if you're thinking I am, I can only imagine the stress and anxiety you're feeling. And I really want to come alongside you and be a support in this so that we can work together. Because my goal is that we both have everything out in the open, right? You're trying to support her in her fears. Let's say it wasn't about you. Let's say she had fears about something else. You would come alongside her. And so you have to treat this as, okay, this is not true in your world, but in her mind, it's very alive and it means something. And so to support her in exploring it, as Alice is describing, gosh, you get to be the hero here in this because you're not being defensive. You're not protecting your reputation. Okay, go ahead.
No, I understand, but I'm scared to put my guard down. Because there's been so much abuse that if I put my...
I understand,
I've
yeah.
gotten to the point where I protect myself now. Because I've... She's unsafe. Her
okay.
Older adult son's unsafe and her parents safe. So now I just protect myself.
Hmm.
And I don't allow certain things in.
Okay, so what have you guys done as a couple to go get help together so that you have a mediator to help you so that you both can feel safe?
Well... As far as a couple, we were doing marriage counseling. We stopped because we didn't have enough of funds. I have a men's Bible group. I have my codependency class.
Yeah, I hear you're doing a lot of good things.
She chooses.
Go ahead.
She doesn't want to do anything. I can't force her. I can't be a parent no more.
Okay, so Tony, you are in a really tough situation, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear that. And
yeah.
And when things are unsafe, you're doing a good job of setting boundaries. The marriage does sound like it's in and has been in a major crisis, and it doesn't sound like she's done a whole lot of her own proactive
no.
repair
right.
in the wake of her affair. Here's what I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
I know funds are limited, and I know that this can be difficult, but I'm going to see if we can do some scholarshiping or something, but the Intimacy in Marriage workshop can really expose a lot of this. Also, we're going to send you a copy of How We Love by Mylan and Kay Yurkovich, and I go through that. But I want to.
I have that book.
Perfect.
Oh,
okay, then we're going to send you Take Your Life Back. But here's the thing. We're just about out of time here for this show. But you need to take care of you and keep setting the boundaries. All of your focus is on her behavior. Her behavior is dangerous. Go back to what keeps you safe. You're the value here. And so keep in that and set strong boundaries with her. Look for help, and thank you for calling in.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.